All right, turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 3. It's good of you to join us. Yeah, better late than never. All right, while you're trying to find Acts chapter 3, let me just take a minute here and remind you that in just a month, we are going to be celebrating our 40th anniversary here at the Church of the Open Door. And we had to put the celebration ahead a few weeks for a number of reasons. We were going to do it on the 4th, which was the correct date. But a little problem there. I'm going to be in Israel on November the 4th. I'll be here in the morning, but our plane leaves Sunday night. So that kind of ruled that out. But then that accommodates us to have several other things work out. So we're putting it off until the 18th of November. And that will be a special day. We're going to have Dr. Smith back to have several remembrances. Also, our founding pastor, Ernest Baker, is going to be here. And he's going to share several things that he and he alone remembers well. And he will share several thoughts with us. And so it'll be a good day. We're going to have a lot of things going on. We'll give you more details as the time approaches. But it's just a special time, and you'll want to mark that day and make sure you're here. Plan to be here all day long. We'll have the morning services as usual, and then have an amended schedule for the evening, and we'll give you all those details as the time approaches. But we're going to have a great time, a great day, and looking forward to the Lord's blessing. All right, look at your Bibles, please. We're back in the third chapter again this morning, and I want you to notice with me, beginning in verse 17, he says, Peter is preaching a message to these people. There was a fellow that was sitting at the gate, you remember, of the temple, and he was a lame man from his mother's womb. And Peter and John walked by. The man said, do you have any alms for the poor? And Peter fastened his eyes on him and said, look on us. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And boy, just like that fellow stood to his feet, and they walked in from the gate into Solomon's porch, where a good little walk, not long, not a far walk, but a good little distance. And as they were walking, a huge crowd of people gathered around to witness this miracle that had just taken place. Peter saw an opportunity to preach the gospel to these people. And so he took that opportunity, beginning in the 12th verse. And he preached unto them concerning the Lord Jesus and his death and his burial and his resurrection. He accused these people of denying the Holy One, verse 14, denying the just. In verse 15, he accused them of killing the Prince of Life, but says that God raised him from the dead. And he said, we are witnesses to this. And then in the 17th verse, I want you to look at what Peter says to these folks, and I want to center my message around one word that is found in this 17th verse. It says, Peter said to them, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Now, you and I would know that word wot, W-O-T. As no, he said, I know that through ignorance you denied, verse 13, him in the presence of Pilate. You denied the Holy One and the just in verse 14. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. And Peter says you did this through ignorance, through ignorance. And now I want you to look, please, at verse 19. in light of what you did in ignorance, repent. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Look at verse 26. He says, unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. I want to speak to you this morning on this little simple word that is found in verse 17. But there is a tremendous amount of thought connected to this one word. He said, I wot that through ignorance you did it. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of ignorance. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you will bless this morning. And I pray you'll help me as I do my best to try and explain several things about this little word, ignorance. And Father, I pray that you will guide and direct and help me this morning. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. But yet, Lord, there are several things that I'm going to say this morning that are perhaps a little to the point and are a little blunt. But Lord, they need to be said. And I pray that you will help us, Lord, to not only hear with our ears, but to hear with our hearts. And Lord, that we will understand what is on my heart this morning, and that folks will see themselves in the light of the Word. Father, give us, I pray, understanding. We're going to be looking at the matter of ignorance this morning. And Lord, the opposite of that is understanding. So give us understanding. And Lord, straighten out some of the thinking that we have concerning the things of the Lord. Give us, I pray, Father, a blessed service and touch hearts, we pray. And we'll give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. And amen. I want you to notice with me, please, in this 17th verse, the Apostle Peter here is talking about the matter of ignorance. I want to speak to you on that subject this morning. We have, for the last couple of weeks now, been looking at Peter's second sermon that is recorded in the book of Acts. And we've been looking at the very heart of this sermon. It is a powerful message. It is one that is just filled with doctrine, and it's filled with truth. It's filled with application. And we've been noticing how the Apostle Peter pointed these folks to God and to the wonderful covenant that was established and has its fulfillment in the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter points out in this message the death and the burial and the resurrection and the ascension and even the second coming, the coming again of the Lord Jesus, and shows how that when the Lord comes, that he will bring a conclusion and he will bring fruition to this covenant God has made with mankind. Now, you might remember that last week I showed you in both services, actually last week, I showed you how that this lame man became a visual aid to the Apostle Peter and the message. Many times you will hear me use an illustration, or you've seen through the years how I've made one of these guys come up and help me, and I've used them as an example to illustrate a point. And I think that's what this lame man was all about for Peter and his message. I believe that he was a visual aid, and Peter used him to make the point that what the Lord had just done for this man, that the Lord could do and was eventually going to do for the whole universe. And here is this lame man who is now healed. He is standing. He is leaping. He is praising God. And he was an illustration. He was an example. He was a visual aid to the restitution of all things that Jesus will one day accomplish when he comes back to this earth. In other words, I think that Peter was using this man to show these people that everything we lost in Adam, we are going to have completely restored through Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to get a mental picture of this whole scene in your mind. Would you just transport your mind back 2,000 years ago? Would you just as best you can picture Solomon's temple? Actually, it was Herod's temple. Solomon's temple was destroyed. But picture, please, Herod's temple. Picture this huge structure sitting on the Temple Mount. Picture, if you will, this wall going around the Temple Mount and this gate called Beautiful and this lame man sitting there. Picture Peter and John, two old fishermen, disciples of the Lord Jesus, come walking by. The man looks up at Peter and John and says, "Alms for the poor. Do you have any alms for the poor?" And Peter and John look down at this fellow and say to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And boom, just like that, a man, we learn in the next chapter, who was 40 years old, a man jumps to his feet and is able to walk, no therapy, no doctor's approval, no insurance claims filled out, just boom, he's healed instantly and he's able to walk. An absolute amazing miracle has just taken place. Now, I want you to picture in your mind all these Jews standing around. They're all going in to pray as well. And all of a sudden, this guy jumps to his feet. He is bouncing around like Tigger the Tiger. I mean, he's just bouncing around everybody. And he's so thrilled and so ecstatic that he's now able to walk. And everybody is staring at him. They're all wondering, how in the world did this happen? How is it possible that this man, we know him. We know he's crippled and has been for life from his mother's womb. How is it that he's able to walk? And so now they're all moving towards Solomon's porch. I want you to picture this whole scene in your mind. And folks, as I sat this week and I thought about the scene and I pictured in my mind all of this buzz going on and Peter looking at this crowd and seeing this man just bouncing everywhere and the people all looking at him and wondering in amazement. And Peter sitting there, he knows exactly what has just happened. He knows exactly what has just taken place. And so when he looks at the crowd, I think naturally the question that would arise in Peter's mind and probably what precipitated him to go ahead and preach this sermon is this question. Why doesn't the whole world believe this? Why doesn't the whole world believe this? And here he then starts to preach about Jesus. And he tells that crowd exactly what they need to hear. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That's his message. Jesus Christ was sent by God. That's his message. Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. You birds crucified him. Jesus Christ was buried, but he arose from the dead. Jesus Christ is victorious over sin and death. And Peter's probably sitting there thinking, and I dare say that man that's bouncing all over the Temple Mount is probably sitting there thinking, what in the world is wrong with all of you? Why don't you believe this? And folks, I got to thinking about it. You know, why doesn't the whole world jump up and down and praise God and shout all over the countryside, Jesus saves? Why doesn't the whole world believe that? I mean, why don't we believe that today? Why isn't every person in Carroll County cramming into the Church of the Open Door this morning to worship God and to hear the Word of God preached and to seeking to get as close to God as they can get? Why is that not happening? Why isn't the whole world believing in this wonderful Savior called Jesus, who is the Son of the living God? Why? Well, there's only one answer to that question. And that one answer is found in verse 17. And Peter said to this crowd, he said, "Now, brethren, I wot, that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers." There is only one answer, and that answer is found in verse 17, and it is given in one word, and the reason that the whole world has not fallen down and confessed Jesus Christ as personal Savior is because of ignorance. You say, preacher, you just called the whole world ignorant. Yes. Spiritually ignorant. Yes, indeed. That's what. Listen, don't get upset with me. Peter did it before I did it. And I remind you that Peter did it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this is not just my opinion, and it's not just the Apostle Peter's opinion. This is the Holy Spirit of God's opinion. The world is spiritually ignorant. And the simple truth of the matter is, the central problem with all of mankind is that men are ignorant of spiritual truths. What an amazing and astounding statement the Apostle Peter made here. Now, folks, listen, we might be tempted to sit here in the 21st century and read this and say, well, I can understand how folks 2,000 years ago could be thought of as ignorant. But, you know, we are such an advanced society today. And we are so much more knowledgeable and well-educated today. Certainly, we could not possibly be viewed as ignorant people today. Well, dear friend, I've got to tell you that the present state of the world today doesn't show me that the world is any better off today than it was 2,000 years ago. I mean, if we think that we are so much more enlightened and so much better off and so much better educated and so more learned, then why is there still all this terrorism? Why is there still all this war? Why is there still all of this diversity of religion? Why is there all this poverty? Folks, let me tell you, there is one truth. And yet there are people advocating their truths, which are contrary to the one truth. If we're so much better off today, then why can't people get along with each other? Why can't nations get along with each other? Why are there still all these tragedies in our homes? Why are there still all of these tragedies in the lives of people with alcoholism and drug abuse and murder and sodomy and you name it? Why is all this stuff still so rampant? I'll tell you why, folks. Ignorance. Ignorance. Now, I say that you cannot look at the world today and think it through and not diagnose that the problem with mankind is the same as it has always been, ignorance. Now, wait a minute. We're not ignorant when it comes to gadgets and gizmos, are we? Oh, no, we've got all that. We've got all that down, all the things that make life easy. I mean, good night, you press a button and anything you want is done for you. I mean, you just press a button and dinner's cooked. You press a button and the laundry's done. You press a button and the dishes are done, or whatever the case may be. I mean, we have all that knowledge. But the problems we face as a society are the knowledge to know how to live. We are ignorant as a society in knowing how to live right and how to die right and how to leave here and go into eternity and stand before our Creator. We are ignorant in those areas. Spiritual ignorance. And these problems are the very ones that all men in all ages have had to face in spite of all the knowledge and that we have accumulated through the centuries. Now, I want us to look at this little simple subject of ignorance this morning. Our ignorance is something that we need to face. And brethren, I want you to understand that our ignorance is not the state of our heads, but it is the state of our hearts. So don't get offended now. You say, well, I went to the church, the Open Door, and that preacher called me ignorant. Well, listen, I'm not saying you're stupid. There's a difference between stupidity and ignorance. I'm not saying you're stupid. Now, don't get offended here. I'm telling you what God says about mankind. We're ignorant when it comes to spiritual things. So please hear me out before you get mad at me, okay? I mean, you just might get something here this morning that will give you understanding, and it won't be said of you that you're spiritually ignorant. It might be said of you this morning that you got some spiritual sense. And that's what everybody needs, is spiritual sense. Now, let's look at two things this morning. First of all, I want you to think with me on the cause of our ignorance. The cause of our ignorance. In verse 17, Peter said, you folks are ignorant. He said, you did this. You crucified the Savior. You denied the Holy One. You denied the Just One. You denied Jesus, and you killed the Prince of Life. But there's a reason you did it. That reason is found in verse 19. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your, what's the next word? Sins. Look at verse 26. He said unto you, first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his, what's the next word? Iniquities. So the cause of our ignorance is sin and iniquities. Folks, God has given us his word, and God tells us in his word what we're supposed to do in order to get to heaven. God tells us in his word how to live. This Bible is the truth of God. This Bible is God's word. It does not contain God's word. It is God's word. Preserved through the centuries, through the ages, preserved by God so that you and I could sit here and know what God demands of us. But ever since the beginning, man has rejected, scorned, and refused to believe, and has changed the truth of God into a lie, and then believed the lie, and it has been an ever-ending cycle that has taken place in our society. The question is, why are we like this? And the answer is simple. We're like this because when man fell, all his faculties fell with him, and man has never been free since he fell. We have been bound by sin ever since we've fallen. You ever hear anybody say, oh, well, we're a bunch of free thinkers. I got one word for that, baloney. Nobody's a free thinker. Every single one of us we're slaves to sin. We're servants of sin. And we're anything but free. We're anything but free. Jesus said that the truth is the only thing that will set men free from the horrible grip that sin has upon us. And that's the reason there are so many religions today. That's the reason why there are so many denominations today. Folks, again, let me remind you, there is one truth. There is one revealed body of truth, and that truth never changes. Yet sinners read the one truth, and through the centuries and through the millennium, they read that one truth, and they say, oh, I don't like that. I will understand it to mean this. Or they'll read that one truth. They'll say, oh, I don't like the way that sounds. I'm going to change it to mean that. And we have taken the truth of God and changed it into a lie. That's what this whole matter, where the whole matter of Islam came from. You ever read the Quran? You've read the Old Testament, right? Can I get a witness right there? You've read the Old Testament? Yeah. You know what that Quran, the Quran is just a spin on the Old Testament. It takes the same Old Testament characters like Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob. It takes the same Old Testament characters, and but instead of the Jews being the people of God, they spin it around to where the Arabs are the people of God. And the Arabs read the Bible, and they saw God made a covenant with the Jews through Abraham, and they said, I'll spin the truths of the Jewish scriptures to reflect upon the Arabs. And the Quran is filled with spin and half-truths from the Bible that are spun to shine brightly upon the Arabs instead of God and His Son Jesus. It is Allah and His Prophet Muhammad. But folks, there's only one truth. There's only one truth. And all of this is reflective of the willful ignorance that has filled the world since Adam's sin and man's faculties that fell with him. Take your Bible. Go over to the book of Ephesians for just a minute. Chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you what Paul said about this matter. Beginning in verse 17, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened." Are you listening to this? Having the understanding darkened. You know what that is? That's ignorance. That's ignorance. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Paul says it clearly. Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. Folks, listen, there is nothing to add to that. Paul is saying here that the heart governs the mind. And when the mind is blind to the truth of God, God looks at it and says, it's ignorance. It's ignorance. Folks, listen, all over the world today, there are people who refuse to see the truth, and the reason they cannot see it is because their minds are darkened to the truth of God, and God looks down upon that darkness and says it's nothing more than ignorance. Now, there's one way to get to heaven, folks, and that's through Jesus. Amen. Now, I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. Amen. But here's what he said. Jesus said, "I am the way." Not a way, the way. He said, "I am the truth." He did not say, "I am a truth," as if to say one among a thousand. No, he is the truth. And he said, "I am the life." And not a life, not one direction you can go. No, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. There's no other way, dear friend. But yet, you look around our world today, and you've got the philosophy that says, well, you know, all roads lead to Rome. I mean, we're all going to the same place. We're all headed in the same direction. It's just you're going this way to get there, and I'm going this way. And they'll say, oh, yeah, well, the Baptists, they go by land, and the Methodists, they go by water. No, dear friend, you either go through the blood or you don't get there at all. And it's ignorance that is just filled our society and filled our culture that has gotten people to think that there's some other way other than the way of Christ. And there's only one way. But there's a second reason men are ignorant to the things of the truth. Not only has sin blinded us from truth, but there is a second reason men are spiritually ignorant and cannot see the truth even when it is right before them. And that second reason is this. The devil blinds people's eyes so that they cannot see the truth. The devil blinds people. You say, well, how do you get that? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Turn over to 2 Corinthians for just a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll show you where I get this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Everybody got it? Look at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. How's that possible? Well, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You'll notice that God is a small g. It's not talking about the God of heaven blinding. It's the God of this world, the devil blinding. The devil blinds the eyes of men, of those that believe not. Why does he do that? So that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Folks, if our gospel be hid, in other words, if people are not seeing it, and if people are rejecting it, if there is still ignorance, then it is hid to them, because the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them that believe not. You know, folks, there are multitudes of people who are simply blinded by Satan. They are blinded by years and years and years of the devil preaching and teaching and sowing his doctrine in their hearts via the television set, via the classroom in school, via magazines and newspapers and everything else. They are blinded by religion. They are blinded by church. They're blinded by good works. People everywhere have been blinded. And all the devil does is just sit back and rub his old grimy paws together and say, boy, I've got another one. I see it here from this pulpit all the time. I see it here all the time. Some of you folks are kind of you kind of get a kick out of the fact that I notice everything that goes on. You say, Pastor, you see everything up there, don't you? Yes, I do. I see you sleeping. I see you taking notes. I mean, you'll notice, and there's some Sundays that's worse than others. I'm surprised this is not one of those Sundays, because I know what I'm about to preach. I know some Sunday, boy, folks are, you know, get up and leave. You'll notice when folks get up and start walking out, I turn away from them. And the reason I do that is because I don't want them disturbing me. Now, I see everything up here. And folks, listen, here's what I've noticed. I see it all the time. People will come in here and for their first Sunday, or their, you know, somebody will invite them to come, or they, you know, they just were looking for church and they didn't quite think that this was what we are, and so they came, and people come in here, and the devil has been conditioning them to doubt and to scorn the truth. You see, the devil's been working on them for years. They've been taught by the devil. They've been educated by the devil, conditioned to doubt and to scorn the truth. And so they come in here, and our music is a rebuke to them, because music to them is what the world offers. And our singing is a rebuke. And then I will read the scripture, another rebuke for them. Because you see, they thought the Word of God was one of these watered down perversions of the scripture. You know, the bad news for modern sinners, or good news for modern man, or the HIV Bible. The NIV Bible. You know, or the New American Standard, and they thought that that's what the Bible was. You know, one of these that you can understand. Excuse me, I can understand this just fine. I don't have any problem with this. And if I lived in educated America, I would not use the excuse that the King James Bible is too difficult for me to understand. By the way, it's fourth grade level. Fourth grade level. And your NIV is eighth grade level. The research has been done on that. So won't you go to something that's a little easier to understand, like the old King James Version of the Bible? But you see, I'll get up here and I'll read out of the King James, and they're sitting there with their HIV Bible, their infected Bible. They're sitting there with their diseased Bible, and they go, "Well, that's not what my Bible says." And boy, instantly we got a problem. Instantly we got a problem. The devil whispers in their ears and ear and says, "They don't even have the right Bible around this church." Oh, yeah, we do have the right Bible. You don't have the right Bible. Everybody okay? You better be, because it's going to get worse here in just a minute. And so I read the Scripture, and it's an offense. And then I preach upon that Scripture that I just read with authority, and I preach upon it with authority, not apologizing for the truth, not soft soaking it, not compromising it, and it is miraculous if they're able to sit through the whole service, and many of them don't. You've seen them get up and leave. Folks, I've had people get up halfway, probably about this point of the sermon, I've had them get up and walk out, turn around and shake their fist at me as they walked out that door. "How dare you preach like that to me?" Well, go ahead in your ignorance and reject the truth of God. Go ahead. Go ahead. But you'll regret it one of these days. And there are multitudes of people that are simply blinded by Satan. Folks, look at me. I am not the enemy. Good night. I'm not the enemy here. I'm not trying to get in your wallet. I'm not trying to ruin your family. I'm not trying to steal your children. I'm not trying to break up your home. I'm not trying to run your life. But the devil is. And goodness sakes, I stand up here and take this Bible and hold it up and say it's the Word of God. You ought to say amen right there. I stand up here and say, "Jesus Christ died for sinners, and whosoever will may come." You ought to say, "Amen." Ignorant to the truth, but fully conscious of the God of this world and His thinking. Ignorant of the truth, but we have a whole society that is fully conscious of the God of this world and His thinking and His philosophy. And the sad thing is they reject the truth of God and choose in ignorance to believe the devil's lie. Now, folks, I don't know if you realize it or not, but that's pretty profound right there. That was a pretty profound statement. Matter of fact, when I finished typing that this week on the computer, I sat back and I said, "Whoa, look at that. I didn't know I knew that." That's pretty cool. Let me say it again. Ignorant to truth, but fully conscious of the God of this world's thinking and philosophy. They reject the truth of God and choose in ignorance to believe the lie. The cause of our ignorance, sin and iniquity. Number two, what is it that the world is ignorant of? I want to give you four little quick things here and then we'll be done. Let me give you four little quick things that the world is ignorant of. First of all, the world is ignorant of God. Ignorant of God. The world we live in simply does not know the God of this Bible. They're ignorant of the God of this Bible. That is always the center of all of our problems. You remember the Lord Jesus in John 17 when He prayed that prayer in the garden. And He made a statement that is so true in verse 25. He said, "O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee." Man, that is so true. The world does not know God. If only the world knew the God of glory, the God whose name is love, the God who is righteous and holy and just, the God who is light and in Him is no darkness at all. But if they only knew that God. But the tragedy of this whole world is that the world does not know God. You see, the world thinks that God is against them. People who don't know God, never think of God, never go to church, never read their Bible to get the truth about God, the first time something goes wrong, here's what they want to know. why did God let this happen to me? Isn't that true? People that have no knowledge of God, no understanding of God, they never go to church, they never read the Bible, they never think about God as long as everything's going all right. But the first sign of tragedy, they'll turn to their friends and they'll say, why is God doing this to me? Why is God doing this? And God is blamed. Listen, dear friend, God is blamed for what the devil is responsible for. If the world could just get a glimpse of and get an understanding of all of God's divine, holy, eternal attributes, the whole world would fall down before Him. But instead, the world listens to all the devil's lies and believes them and questions the truth. And that, dear friends, is just ignorance. That's ignorance. My dad used to say of me years ago, he said, that boy is so hard-headed. That boy is so stubborn. Said that boy would argue with a road map and take the wrong road home. That's the world. That's the world. Folks, right here is your road map. Tells you how to get there. Right here. And yet we want to argue with the road map and take the wrong road home. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus. Secondly, not only is man ignorant of God, but secondly, man is ignorant of himself. We're ignorant of our own condition. You see, God plainly tells us in His Word that we are sinners and that sin is our essential problem. But not just a sin problem, but a sin problem against a holy and righteous God. And that sin has to be taken care of. But you know, the devil comes right along and he offers lies that facilitate that ignorance. Can I remind you that right in the very beginning, here's old Eve standing there in the garden and serpent walks up and says, hey, gal, doesn't that look good? Doesn't that fruit look good? And Eve looked at the devil and said, oh, we can't eat of that fruit. God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Well, God didn't say don't touch it, but, you know, she exaggerated a little bit. I could say right there that she was a woman, but I won't say that. I didn't say that. I said I could have said that. She exaggerated a little bit. And boy, don't you know, the devil just turned around and lied to her? Boy, he turned around, looked at her and said, you ain't going to die. Well, God knows that the minute you eat of that fruit, you're going to be like Him. And offered her death instead of life. A lie instead of the truth. And the devil's been offering lies ever since. You see, the devil offers us lies to just facilitate our ignorance. Instead of believing that we were created in the image of God, the devil comes along and tells us this lie called evolution. That is today being taught in our public school system, which, by the way, dear friend, is being taught right here in Carroll County in the public school system. You say, well, what's wrong with that? It's a lie. Right. And here's what's wrong with it. It does nothing. Here's the bottom line with it, folks. Here's what the devil's up to with all this stuff. It is nothing more than a lie that gets you to think that you have no accountability to God. God didn't have anything to do with you being here. God's not responsible for you being here. Your problem is a result of just, you're nothing more than an animal. You've just evolved like the monkeys and like the baboons and like the gorillas and like the elephants and like the rhinoceros. You've just evolved over time like everything else. You have no God that you're accountable to. The mentality is, all I need is food and money and sex and clothing and TV and a remote control and a car and I'll be happy. just my base needs. These are the things that make me happy. These are things, this is all I need. Oh no, dear friend. You need Jesus. Your problem is a sin problem. There's only one person that can solve that, and that's Jesus. You better not listen to the lies of the devil. You better not listen. Then there's a third thing. Men are ignorant of the fact that there will be a final judgment. This is absolutely one of the biggest areas of ignorance that our world faces today. Like Paul said, our philosophy is, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And we think that when we die, that's it. We're just dead. We just cease to exist. Well, that's not what the truth teaches us. The truth teaches us that we are eternal beings. And that we may physically die, but our eternal soul, the real you, lives on forever. And here's what God said in His eternal word about your eternal soul. He said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You go stand before an eternal, holy, righteous, just God one of these days. Amen. And give an account for what you have done with the truth. Death is the end. Oh, no, it's not, my friend. It's not what God's Word said. Years ago, I was pastoring out in Illinois. There was a fellow we were trying to win to Christ. His wife came to our church. We were trying to win this man to Christ. Oh, he was so bitter and so hard. Never did get saved. Never did. He told me, as I was witnessing to him one day in the hospital, trying to win him to Christ. And he looked at me and he said, preacher, he said, I don't believe in God. Don't believe in the Bible. Don't believe in heaven. Don't believe in hell. He said, when you die, that's it. You're done. You're finished. And he said, as a matter of fact, he said, when I die, he said, it's in my will. I've left orders that I'm to be cremated and my ashes are to be scattered at sea. And with an angry look on his face, he glared at me and he said, you want to know why, preacher? And I said, I think I know why. He looked over at me with that angry face and he said, I want to be buried, my ashes buried in Lake Michigan, so that if there is a God, He will at least have a hard time gathering me all back together to face the judgment. You know what that is, dear friend? That's just ignorance. Ignorance about the final judgment. Ignorance about eternity. That's all it is. You say, well, how could you say that? That's his opinion. Because we have God's opinion here. And my Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm going to stick with what God has to say about it. And just assess that that man's statement was ignorance. He just does not know the truth. Lastly, men are ignorant of their need of the Savior. Folks, we see this everywhere, don't we? Amen. Oh, I can get to heaven on my own. No, you can't. Sorry, you can't. Oh, well, as long as I'm a good person. Well, my Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. But according to His mercy, He saved us. Oh, well, I've been baptized. Yep, and you went in the pool, a dry center. You came out a wet center. You went in a dry center on your way to hell. You came out a wet center on your way to hell. The wages of sin is death, not getting baptized. Well, I'm a charter member. Well, la-ti-da. Let's just all get out the banners and twirl them around. No, the wages of sin is death, not church membership. I mean, folks, listen. I mean, even these modern versions of the Bibles can't erase that. The wages of sin is death. So the question is, do you see your need of the Savior? Folks, that's why there are all these religions. That's why there's all these denominations. That's why some of them preach works and some of them preach baptism and some of them preach church membership. Some of them preach that you got to be baptized face forward, and some preach you got to be baptized in running water. Goodness sakes, every denomination known to man is on this planet. I'm sure somebody will come up with a new one next week. So we're going to go start our own church. Say, well, yeah, well, why? Well, because we believe that it's this way. And we believe that it's this way. And we believe that it's this way. And that's why you can start at one end of Carroll County and drive the other. And you got hundreds and hundreds of denominations and churches. Don't you find that strange when there's only one truth? One truth. But you see, ignorance is everywhere. How can so many people not see the truth? How can that be? There's only one answer, and that's ignorance. And that ignorance is because of sin and iniquity and because of blindness by the devil. Now, dear friend, I'm begging you this morning, don't be ignorant of these things. All men need the Savior. All men need Him because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't be ignorant of God. Don't be ignorant of yourself. Don't be ignorant of eternity. And whatever you do, don't be ignorant of Jesus. That's the truth. That is the truth. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you sift it, no matter how you cut it, that's the truth. There is a God. I'm a sinner. I'm going to have to face that God. Jesus made the way. Don't be ignorant of those things. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, I pray your blessings upon the message this morning. And Lord, I pray that you will give us understanding of what we have heard. Lord, I pray that if there's even one soul here today that's not sure they're saved, may they see their need of the Savior. Lord, help us to be giving the truth of the eternal Word of God serious consideration this morning. God, do something in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Let me ask you a couple personal questions, and I want you to be honest with me and with yourself this morning and with God. Nobody looking. With heads bowed and eyes closed. How many folks here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved, and there's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I know that I'm going to heaven. My faith is in the Lord, and I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know you're saved? Preacher, I know that I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I know that I'm going to heaven. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. Absolutely know that I'm saved. I absolutely know it, preacher. Amen. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. Let me ask you this. How many here will say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand with everybody else. I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I know I need to be. I need the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And preacher, right now, I'm going to raise my hand and ask you to pray for me. I need to be saved. Pray for me, Pastor. I couldn't raise it with everybody else a moment ago, but I'll raise it right now because I need the Lord. Preacher, pray for me that I'll be saved before it's too late. Would you raise your hand, dear friend? Let me pray for you. Let me ask God to speak to your heart this morning. I won't embarrass you. I promise you, nobody will know who you are, just you, me, and God. But I will pray for you, and I will. Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? You may put yours down. Thank you. Anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. Pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, how many Christians here this morning will say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I'm not living for the Lord like I should, and God's speaking to my heart this morning. Would you lift your hand, Christian? Let me pray for you this morning all over this building. Yes, God bless you. Many, many hands. Good, good, good. God bless you. All right, now, Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, give us understanding of what we've heard. Father, help us to realize the devil is so busy through sin and through blindness trying to get us away from the truth and to follow the lie and follow ignorance. And Lord, your word is truth, and it tells us clearly and distinctly what we need to know, how we can be rightly related to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, bless, and I pray that Lord, these that need to be saved will come and let us take a Bible and show them how they can know they're going to heaven. Get this matter resolved this morning. Lord, I pray that you will help these Christians all over the room this morning that raise their hands. And Lord, give us victory, I pray. I pray that, Lord, we'll draw close to you this morning and use the invitation as a time to confess sin and just draw nigh unto God as God draws nigh unto us. So, Lord, bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.